Welcome back to the Talking Auckland podcast series on the debate of the Mayor's Alternative Transport Funding Package, early announced this week. In this part, I will be giving the full presentation that I was meant to be giving to the Auckland Development Committee in early October. In this presentation, I'll be covering 3 points. Where next with the Auckland City Rail Link post-election? This ties in especially with the rates debate that kicked off today in the governing body, or actually yesterday. The City Rail Link and the funding mechanism that should be explored instead of doing rates, fuel taxes and tolls, as well as reaction to the Finance and Performance Committee's decision to sell land inside the Manukau City Centre and what alternative could have been taken for Manukau's development with that land, because it has consequences across the city, including funding mechanisms to fund transport projects. The reference material is provided for you in the blog post attached to this podcast, as well as the actual presentation in PDF form. I do recommend having a read for it briefly beforehand to get yourself up to speed if you haven't done so already. I will be going back over some points I have made earlier in the previous two podcasts to bring you up to speed, and as well as to bring in the wider context before going into the nuts and bolts of these alternative mechanisms that I propose to the committees that hopefully the council will take on board, although with the mayor's reaction and proposals so far, it seems someone's not exactly listening to the city. So, where to with Auckland's city building post-election? We know National has a majority with the help of its partners, and through what's coming through the RMA reforms, I suspect the government is going to be more interested in our planning matters. We've seen them do it with the special housing areas. They're keeping a close eye on the unitary plan hearings that are going underway at the moment that are actually not, in all honesty, going too well, with the commissioners rightfully questioning the council on aspects of the unitary plan and possible flawed aspects of the plan. We also wonder what the government is going to do funding-wise with the City Rail Link. We know Prime Minister John Key has said 2020 providing targets have been met. However, we could see it brought forward to 2017, 2018 if the mayor backs down, bites the lemon and compromises for a 2017, 2018 start and actually has an alternative funding mechanism in place that does not rely on rates, fuel taxes and tolls. To show politically what is at stake, we know from the central elections just been in September that South Auckland will continue to bubble away on her own accord regardless of the long-term plan and National's third and possible fourth term. South Auckland seems to be quite self-sufficient. It will do with what it has and what it can do. West Auckland, however, we noticed went entirely blue in the party vote, the vote that matters the most. This should be sending a big warning not only to the mayor, but also to those in the council that the city is not happy and something needs to be done about it. Traditional Labour strongholds went blue, including the deputy mayor's area. Boundary changes might make part of it, but that's just a cop-out excuse. This should send out a warning to local level, especially those who reside in Newland, Waitakere and Henderson. The controversial point being that unless going out into wider context that the West sees some serious cash coming its way through the long-term plan, and this includes transport initiatives such as maybe the Northwestern Busway, upgrades to Henderson Station in that area, maybe even the light rail running from the proposed K Road station out to Westgate via the Northwestern Motorway in place of the busway. Unless we see that cash coming, even if it is at the expense of the city centre for a short time, the 2016 elections just got interesting, and this will determine the long-term plan and how our future is shaped as Auckland, as a city that is to internationally compete against other large cities out there. We know when the mayor first tabled his long-term plan draft that there were to be spatial prioritisations, 10 areas that the council would dedicate its scarce resources on in both urban development and transport development. You can see them there on the presentation that's referenced to this blog post that is attached to this podcast. If absolute push comes to shove and we cannot get the funding required, wherever it comes from, to to fund all the transport projects in the city. We might have to nut down to these 10 spatial priority areas in the first 5 years before moving on to the next set in another 5 years' time, and we roll this through every 5 years' time. We could be looking at these spatial priority areas as to help alleviate off the rates, tax and toll burden we could be facing. So we have to think to ourselves, is the spatial prioritisation good? I think it might be, even with the alternative funding mechanism I'm about to propose. With the City Rail Link, we know it is definitely off the table next year, no matter what the Mayor tries and convinces us to say. Our earliest start date, as I said, is 2017, 2018, as National looks to her fourth term. Not saying that she could win it, but she will have her eyes to that fourth term. We know the council has to review its transport priorities, something that it is not as doing at the moment. As a result of that election, and as we have to prepare to bite that large lemon, there are ways to salvage aspects of these transport plans, because this will not go through. And it is something that the blog has mentioned countless times before, and it acts as a good repository. Just type in the search engine for some of my past posts on what I've done with this, and you'll find a treasure trove of past information. So the council must be ready to consider in its long-term plan deliberations the full start date, not including the precinct section, that's most likely to be 2018. Call it a hunch, but we're looking at that. As I said earlier, the 10 spatial priorities made earlier by the Mayor could be a way to help pick out those transportation projects that need to be priority one as we focus our urban growth in these 10 areas in Auckland. It's something we need to consider as a city. That said, when I get on to other parts of the podcast series, I will be looking at the two true questions that the Mayor should be asking us in regards to the transport funding and actually network situation. So the question is, how could we fund some of our transport projects? Looking at the Manukau situation where the Finance Performance Committee has given the go-ahead to Auckland Council Property Limited to sell off 3 lots of land at Lot 59 where the bus interchange is going, noted as in yellow in the presentation reference PDF, unless Council rescinds that motion and they hold on to the land in the end. Council has basically shot itself in the foot for an alternative constant revenue funding source for these transport projects that we so need to get done. Looking at the Miami example that I've got there, in Miami, they want to build a new rail station and new rail line, and they're using land that their council owns, as well as their property development arm, to not only build the station, but also build a residential and commercial complex beside and over it. The point being is that they will have up to 1 million square feet, or just over 92,000 square meters of residential and commercial floor space that the council owns and can lease out to the wider market. Once leased out, the council would have not only property taxes or rates coming in, it will also have ground rent and lease money coming into the coffers. This money from the commercial development over and beside the Miami Rail Station, as well as other examples throughout Asia and Australia, which assist in getting fare box ratios over 100%. Anything over 100% means profit on the transit network. Means that the transit system is not only self-sustainable, but it also another source of revenue is being pulled into the council through this lease. Leasing from their own developments that can be used for other transport projects, like the City Rail Link in our case, or say busways on the Northwestern Motorway, as well as out to Botany and Panmure for South Auckland. This extra revenue gained constantly over the lifetime of the asset could also go to our local boards to fund local board projects. If we were to use this example for Manukau, looking at some of the projects that I quickly drew up and sketch up, the one third of that money gained from the leasing could go back to the Papatoa Otara local board for projects of their own, while the rest goes back into the council consolidated fund for other projects. This extra revenue stream means we do not have to rely so heavily on both central government, motorway tolls, rates increases, and fuel taxes. It means that Auckland would be the world's most livable city rather than the world's most rated and taxed city in the developed world. It also means you have guaranteed patronage, win-win for both the development itself as well as the transport network. You have the people that would come to the commercial facilities or live the residential facilities funneling into the transit station that these facilities are built over, guaranteeing patronage and extra fare box recovery, meaning less subsidies needed from central government. At the same time, these stations would also give the extra foot traffic needed, especially to when you have things like malls, hotels, and office buildings built over these stations. Manukau would be the perfect example. This is win-win-win for the city. Yet the mayor does not consider it at all, and the council, despite platitudes I have constantly heard in the Auckland Development Committee, are dragging the chain over. Otherwise, this would be up on the table by now. I quote the deputy mayor, Penny Holt, saying in the Finance and Performance Committee debate where they slashed local boards projects due to our budget tightness, saying the decision was a difficult one, that is in cutting community projects that we associate with and that we attach identities to. It was a difficult one, but money was a drop in the bucket compared to the council's entire budget. We need to move on and look what, for new ways to get money into that machine. The local boards need to look at their budgets and figure out if they can find other ways to fund projects they want. Yes and no, Deputy Mayor Holkes. No, the local boards should not be looking. The governing body that you're second in charge of, as well as the mayor is in charge of, should be looking at. I gave the alternative. Follow it up. Pursue it. Do it. Overseas cities do it without problems. Overseas cities, as a result of these developments where the council is a developer and a leaseholder, have fare box ratios of over 100% profit, that elusive profit that we could use to fund back some of the other transport projects listed in the mayor's summary of ITP Transport Networks documents referenced on the blog post today. Extra revenue that we could use so we did not have to cut back these community projects, so we could fund the city rail link and other transport projects without having to resort to that 1.2% petrol tax rise year on year for 9 years, that 0.9% rates rise year on year. That is also on top of any other rates rise coming through from other areas as well. Extra funding from these developments and profit from the transit system, which would mean we do not have to rely on a motorway toll as a revenue gainer, but rather as a demand manager once the public transport system is fully complete. We want the world's most livable city. The mayor, the deputy mayor, Auckland Transport, the council is not giving it to us. To be honest, we do deserve better, and I will follow this up in the next blog post and the next podcast.